I was tasked with this question one day some months back at church, and I thought I would go over it with you in three pieces. Is Passover a command? This is one that comes up from time to time, even in the church, and we'll talk about why that is later. If you look on the internet and you ask this question, there'll be many answers. Now, these are, of course, people who are not part of God's church. Doesn't mean they're idiots. Some of them are very well read, read the whole Bible. And yet, this is what they have to say. While I have shared most of my Seder meals with non-Jews present, it's only a command in Torah for the people who are members of the eternal covenant, Israel, of the Jewish faith, to be observed in each generation. If you are of the New Testament or covenant of faith, this holy observance is not commanded of you. I won't go on because you'll be embarrassed. Here's another one. Jews don't keep Passover because it's a Christ festival. Why don't Christians celebrate Ramadan or Diwali? Same logic. Pesach is a Jewish festival. It commemorates Jewish history and theology, nothing to do with Christianity. Because Jews were saved from Egypt, etc., etc., etc. That's what people in the world kind of think. As strange as it sounds, and we'll go into a reasonable eye a little later, this is a question that does, in fact, need to be clear in our minds. So today is just a simple review and a training session in a sermonette for you to have a quick answer if this should ever come up. For the main point, obviously, the answer is, of course, yes, it's a command. Well, it's not a holy day like the following first day of unleavened bread. It is a commanded assembly for those who claim fellowship with God, are baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. So let's go and look and see some proofs, quick proofs, so we'll be able to teach this when necessary quickly. I think you know where the first place I'm going to go, so please turn there, Exodus 12. And we'll take a look at the first Passover in Egypt in Exodus 12. I read from the King James Version, so that's what I'll be reading from today. Exodus 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you a beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Okay, so that sounds like a command to me. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take them, every man, a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb of the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and neighbor, etc., etc., etc. So we read on down and we go down through the killing. Now, come down to verse 7. Come down to verse 7, a key scripture. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Now, I'm not sure in all the years I've been coming up here if I've ever gone over Exodus 12 with you before. But as a refresher, the blood goes across the lintel and the posts of the door, right? Why was that done? Because to the best of my knowledge and my study, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, there were no temples in Egypt to worship God in. And one of the reasons that Moses wanted to take the people 3 days' journey into the desert to a deserted place, you may think of that on yourself, was that one of the things they were going to do was sacrifice a ram, correct? And they were also going to sacrifice a bull. Now, at this time in Egypt, bulls were one of the chief gods of Egypt. So it would have been a homicidal mistake to sacrifice a bull in front of the Egyptians. So we have two things going on here. We have blood on each door, and we have a sacrifice that will take place outside of Egypt. Blood sacrifice. These sound like commandments to me. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Okay, he talks about how it should be done, and then it talks about leaving. Okay, now here's an important point about leaving. So if you understand a little bit about Jewish language, the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is het, and if you write it in ancient Hebrew, it looks like a doorway. And there's meaning to that. And the fact that it is the eighth letter is tied to the symbol that the Jews use, which indicates what? Exodus. It indicates Exodus, and it indicates according to the Jews, eternity with God. So what we have here is the basis of what we believe, and it's a commandment. Okay, now we just read some comments from people who are well-educated but don't understand the truth of God, unlike you, who do. And even if we were to talk to them and show them this, and show them what we're going to show in a minute in the New Covenant, they still wouldn't understand because, truthfully, folks, you understand because God has opened your minds. You are special people. I know I say that every time I come up here, but I want you to remember it. The reason you understand that this is a command is because your mind is open to it. Okay. So, in verse 13 it says, "And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you or destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be," here we go, verse 14, "a memorial, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever." If that's not a command, I don't know what it is. Notice he calls it a feast. Calls it a feast. It's not a holy day, it's a feast. How is it a feast? Well, we're going to get to that in a minute, okay? When we read in the New Covenant, we're going to read what kind of feast it is. I will prep you for that now so you don't think I sound strange when I say it. Okay, so feast means eat, right? We all want to eat at a feast. At the Passover, what do we eat? We eat the blood and the body of Christ. We take that into us. Now, obviously I speak from a spiritual perspective. Yes, we take a little piece of unleavened bread, we take a little thimble of wine, symbology. But the truth of the matter is, spiritually, we take Christ into us. Remember I mentioned that there were no temples in Egypt for them to worship from. So the house was the temple. Where is the temple of the Holy Spirit now? Where does it reside? Right here. Okay. Turn over, please, to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And we know this, obviously, is commands. So Leviticus 23. And if you're not there, I'll just read it for time's sake. Leviticus 23. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying," again, the same thing, "speak unto the children of Israel to say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be your holy convocations, these are the feasts." And he talks about the Sabbath day as a feast, a Sabbath rest, a holy convocation. Then, "these are the feasts of the Lord." And then in verse 5, "in the 14th day, the first month, even is the Lord's Passover." Again, it's a feast. Okay. As a reference, you can write down Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Okay. Now, we're going to move into some New Covenant scriptures. You know, I actually brought a bunch of scriptures with me that I was going to hand out, but you know, this is not my best day today. I left them. But I'll read you these scriptures that I have written in here so that you can use them as a quick reference, because that's all this is supposed to be. I mean, it's pretty easy to remember Exodus 14, and we know we're going to go into 1 Corinthians, okay? So these are easy scriptures for us. But you want to reference 2 Peter 1, 14 and 15, and compare that to John 21, 18 and 19. 2 Peter 1, 14 and 15, and John 21, 18 and 19. And here, we're talking about Peter reminding us that the Old Testament prophets spoke and wrote under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. And that's specifically 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, okay? All right, so I want to skip ahead a little bit to Paul. And here's something that's, it's a matter of logic and it's a matter of understanding and seeing, and it makes a lot of sense once you see it, okay? People talk about Paul being hard to understand. I don't find him hard to understand because I pray a whole lot about it and I ask a lot of questions of men more knowledgeable than myself. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3. 16 and 17. Now, what does that mean to me? Well, think about this. Paul's writing about all scriptures given by inspiration of God, right? What scripture is he talking about? I'll give you a hint. It stops in the middle of your Bible because the New Covenant scriptures had not been written down yet. So how can it not be a command if Paul says all scripture is given and he's talking about the old covenant? And if you want a reference in your mind right now, you should be thinking Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, correct? All right. So let's turn over to the key new covenant scripture and talk about that. The blood and body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And here it is, a little complicated, but if you break it down into its simplest parts and just look at it, it makes complete sense. Now, people complain, clear back in Christ's day, people complain. What did they say? How can this man be eaten? Talking about himself. A lack of understanding. I speak to people who have the Spirit of God in them. I read you quotes from people who do not. They're learned people, but they don't have the Spirit of God in them. Okay? That is not against them. That is beautiful upon you to have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 10. All right. Moreover, brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant how all our fathers were under a cloud and passed through the sea, the Exodus, where they were baptized. And were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And did eat all. Notice he says cloud and sea. So it wasn't just a physical baptism going through the Red Sea, but also under the cloud, which was Jesus Christ, correct? Notice these things. And all did eat the same spiritual meat, okay? And did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. You'll recall, striking the rock, the water comes out. It's referring to Christ, okay? So we're moving from a physical reality, the Exodus, to a spiritual reality, the Passover of Jesus Christ. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were given for our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, etc., etc., etc. He lists things that we should not do, and we know what they are. Okay. Now, neither murmur you, as some of you also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. When it says our admonition, that means you and I reading this right now, upon whom the ends of the world are come, or I would add, are soon coming. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, let's move over to verse 16, and we'll really dig into what really is at the heart and the soul of the matter, right? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So talking about the wine, the little tiny bit of wine we take, is it not the blood of Christ? Yes. Rather than the blood on the posts and the lintels, we take it into ourselves. Symbolically. Okay? Symbolically. But understand that Christ and God the Father say, and you will read this at Passover, we read it every year, I and them and I and you and me, and we go, yeah, yeah. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God the Father and Jesus Christ reside in this temple, past this door, with this blood. What blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, they are not they which eat of the sacrifice of partakers of the altar, which was not in Egypt. Okay, so I'm going to say something difficult. So, is it a command? Yes. What happens if you don't keep the command? So let's think about that. So, it's not a holy day. You're not commanded to be there, but it's a command that you should be there, right? It's a feast day. If you miss it for some reason other than you just don't want to be there, what happens? There's a very specific amount of time and place where you take it again. Does that sound like a command? Because it doesn't just say, oh, just do it again, does it? He says when and where you're going to do it again. Why is this important? Why am I making a big deal about it? Well, because sometimes people say, well, I'll just keep the Passover at home. Okay. Fine. But we are partakers together of the blood and body of Christ, right? If, think about this, as the death angel, whoever that may have been, passed over Egypt, why did he not kill those that had the blood on them? Now, If you do not partake of the Passover, do you have the blood of Christ in you? Do you have the body of Christ in you if you do not partake of the Passover? I will not answer that question. It's a matter of faith. It's a command that you be there and you take the cup and the bread. I would be afraid not to do that. No matter how sinful my life had been during the past year, I would be afraid not to obey that command. Okay. Because the way I understand it, and I can be corrected for being wrong, but the blood and body of Christ is in us. We take it at that Passover. Now, I understand every day of our lives, sometimes many times during the day, we ask for God's forgiveness. But once a year we come and we take the Passover. It's a command. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. What does he mean by that? Again, this is spiritual. We're talking about spiritual realities here. You cannot worship God here and turn around on the Sabbath day and go over and go wherever you're going to go and do whatever those people are doing that is improper. You cannot do that. You must choose. So, you know, I have a lot more stuff here and I wanted to go over it, but you know what? I want to talk about why somebody at church would task me with asking about this when I know full well they know the answer. Because they're intelligent, they've been coming a long time. Because I don't think it's a bad attitude at all. In fact, I think it's the opposite. And I think you all feel inside what I'm talking about. Why is it a command? Is it a command? Yes, it is. Why is it a command? You know, as a people, Americans, especially here in the South and in the country, we have this tradition of if her brothers have to come with a shotgun and get you to come to the church, you don't want to be married, right? Right? If you got to be forced to do something, you don't really want to do it. Which reminds me, I don't have it here written down. I had it and I lost it because, again, I'm disorganized today. Mr. Petty gave a sermon on the attitude of the foot washing here a few weeks ago. If you go in right now and just look in the last week or two, you will find the sermon, and I would encourage you to listen to it because it is to this point that I speak now. The attitude of why you do what you do, not the command. So why would somebody at church ask me, is Passover a command? Because I think deep down inside all of us, we may not know how to express it. Now, I'm good at expressing things. That's why I teach. I'm top in the country at expressing myself. But people are not. They feel the truth, which is the reason you go to Passover is because you love God and want to serve him and serve his people. And you shouldn't be forced to do that. Okay? That's what God wants. He wants you to come with an open heart to receive him. You want to be there. That's why they ask that question. Not because they don't understand that it's a commandment. We just went through in 10, 12 minutes, we went through a very simple explanation. Exodus, First Corinthians, and you have it right there. I mean, you can't deny it. You can see it. Blood, bread, forgiveness of sins, Passover. Take it. Why do people ask this question? They ask it because inside they feel like, well, should I be commanded to do something I need to do? No, you should want to do it. You should want to go to the Passover and be there. And that's why a couple of years ago I was at a Passover and we were discussing something. A minister and I were discussing something and he's like, what do you think? And I said, well, I don't know. Why are you asking me? I said, personally, I want to come here and not take it at home unless I'm really sick and don't want to get somebody else sick. I'm here because I want to be here with God's people, with God there. Okay? So, you know, I really believe that. I believe that right now. I believe right now if I had the eyes to see, which I do not, I could see the representative of the kingdom here with us because we prayed and asked that they would be here. Yes? So the attitude is more important than the action because the attitude comes and the action follows. All right? So yes, it is a commandment. You need to go to the Passover. You need to keep it. And preferably, if at all possible, try to keep it together. I am sick. Many people are sick. Many people are old. Sometimes it's hard to go. Sometimes you have to keep it at home for other reasons. Sometimes you miss it. And there is a set time you keep it. But you want to keep it because you want to keep it. And so if somebody should ask you this question at church, think about that. Think about it. They're not really asking, is it a command? They're asking, why do I feel like it's really important and I shouldn't be told to be there? You should be told to be there because you don't know, right? But your heart should say, I want to be there. I want to be with God the Father and Jesus Christ and with God's people and worship God and receive that great reward. What great reward? Forgiveness of sins. Okay? But that's not, going there to get the reward is not the chief reason you go. It's to worship God, to do as he says, and to worship his people in their way that he teaches, not the way that we do in this world where we run all of these symbols and we feel good about ourselves. It's a waste of time. To receive the bread and blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that's why you're there. But you're not there because you're told to be there. You're there because the Holy Spirit has guided you to go there and accept these things and move on with the year. And I know probably, like in my own life, the very next day I'll probably have to get down on my knees, having just taken the Passover, and ask for forgiveness of sins. I understand that. But this is a day that's very important for us. I was reading something off of UCG's website, and somebody said something really interesting, and it made total sense to me. Why is it the first feast? Because without this festival, nothing else matters from that point on. If you are not prepared past that night for the next thing, the Days of Unleavened Bread, you're not pure, right? All right. So let's go over the teaching part again and make sure we get it clear. It's Exodus, right? And then you can look at 2 Peter. You can look at 1 Timothy where Paul instructs that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then you can look at 1 Corinthians. You can see where it talks about the blood and the bread of Jesus Christ. And know that these things are commanded. Because remember, back in Exodus and also in Deuteronomy, he says, throughout your generations forever you shall keep this. You know there's no separation. The Bible has a hole in the middle where we go from Old Covenant. That doesn't mean there's a hole in reality. It's the book. It's a book, it's the word of God. But the truth of the matter is, nothing's changed. From Adam and Eve through now, nothing's changed. Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But without his sacrifice, without us acknowledging that sacrifice, without our attitude being, I love you and I want to be there, the command has no effect.